This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.
Welcome to Borscht Club on ORFM, where we stir up vibrant stories, rich traditions, and the voices of the Ukrainian community. Grab a seat, it's time to dive into something truly special. Hello, how are you? Here in New Zealand, winter is almost here. Today I finally gave up and took out my warm vest. But in Ukraine, it's spring. And yes, May is considered a spring month there. Spring in Ukrainian is Vesna, and May is Travень. The word comes from Trava, grass, because this is exactly the time when the grass turns green and herbs begin to grow and bloom everywhere. I remember always waiting for spring. Spring meant finally being able to take off all the heavy winter clothes, shove the fur coats and puffer jackets deep into the wardrobe, and enjoy the warmth again. Winters in Ukraine are usually quite snow and cold, so the arrival of spring feels almost like a return of strength, energy and movement. And suddenly everyone wanted to spend more time outside, with friends in the streets, by the river, in parks, out in nature. The city would come alive again, and crowds of people would pour into the streets after the long winter months. Do you remember your teenage years? Mine were quite a long time ago now, but I remember life feeling huge and exciting back then. I explored the world, read a lot, acted in theater productions, drew, listened to music on cassette tapes. There were still cassette tapes back then. Loved photography, and could spend hours walking around the city. I am from Kyiv, the capital of Ukraine. Before the war, nearly 3 million people lived there. To get to my lyceum, I had to take the metro and then walk another 15 minutes through the city center. We stayed out with friends until dark, went to summer camps for the whole holidays, traveled around the country, and never even imagined that one day all of this could change. But what does the life of an ordinary teenager in Kyiv look like now? How does their day begin? What do they dream about? What do they fear? What do they hope for? The last few days have been horrific for Ukraine. Russians once again attacked Ukrainian cities, residential neighborhoods, schools and shops. In Kyiv alone, 24 people were killed in a single night, including 3 children. Another 48 people are still in hospital. One of the missiles struck directly into a residential apartment building in a sleeping district of the capital of Ukraine. Nazar Bondarchuk is a 17-year-old boy from Kyiv. Russia forced its way into his life, and things that should seem unimaginable and unacceptable in a normal civilized world have become part of his everyday reality. So, what is life like for a Ukrainian teenager during a full-scale war? Hello, Nazar. Thank you for agreeing to speak with us and tell us about your life. Can you introduce yourself and tell us a bit about your life in Kyiv right now?
Thank you so much for this interview. I'm Nazar. I'm 17 years old. I'm a citizen of Kyiv, or the capital of Ukraine. I'm a student, just such a classic local here, a proud citizen of my country. And today I want to share some stories about life here during the war. So yeah, let's begin.
What does a normal day look like for you these days?
Normal life in the wartime, this is such not a normal life that we understand. How can I describe the normal life? Normal life, this is such a day, or even if you're lucky, the week without even airstrikes, air alerts. When everything is calm, you don't need to go to the bomb shelter or metro stations. When there is no a cut off on the electricity because of the situation of our energetic system in our country, because of the shelling of power plants, nuclear power plants as well, such of stuff. When you have light, when you have no air strikes, when everything go such a normal way. This is such an unlucky days when you have all of that. That's all.
So what feels normal in your life now and what definitely doesn't? Because people here probably don't really understand what things like power outages mean, while for Ukraine electricity cuts have become quite normal these days. So what used to feel normal before the full-scale invasion started, and what feels normal for you now considering the circumstances?
You know, every human is adaptive to any conditions of life. And on the fifth year of war, I think we all have adapted to this situation. But before the war, what was life was like? Actually, absolutely calmness, European-style life. When everything went great, when everybody had an opportunity to travel abroad, actually, because of the closed airspace. This is the first thing which is very visible at the time of the war. There is no planes in the sky. As we mentioned, electricity. Before the war, there was always an electricity. Right now, there is not because shellings of the power plants. What's normal for right now? Normal, this is the, as I said, when there is electricity all day long, there is no airstrikes. I don't know, internet and mobile reception is working great. What is not normal? I think nights was spent in the bomb shelters, especially last summer. We had a very large strikes mostly every week, and especially there was at the night time. Nights in the bomb shelter, they're exhausting. What else? Cutting off an electricity, I remember I had a day when I had not electricity for 25 hours. You feel like in the mid-centuries without any, like, how can I say, the stuff of a normal modern human being when you need to survive, actually, and when you need to survive during the winter, during the minus 25 degrees Celsius. This is mind-blowing. But yeah, as I said, every human has an option to adapt to any condition of a life. So I think right now I cannot say something like my life right now is kindly very huge changed, and I cannot say that I'm frightened for over something. Right now I'm feeling great. I live a good life. I cannot say the best, actually. We could do better, but I think I'm doing great.
Cool, thank you. Do you still go to school, or have you already finished?
No, I'm studying in a college.
How has the war affected your studies? What does your day look like now?
Well, actually, the first thing, which is we came back because of the war, this is the online studying. Actually, we have a days when they're mostly when we go the classic way to our schools, colleges, universities, like by feet, like a normal days. But when there is such a large shelling and airstrikes in the morning, we stayed home. At home, at bomb shelters, and we continue to study online because of the safety reasons. And because I live in a city which is divided by the river to the right and the left bank, during the air alert, the bridges are closed and I cannot cross the banks of a river. I live on my college and my home are located on different banks of the river, and I cannot cross it because of the air alert. They're closing the bridges and the metro system is stopping operating because of the air alert, and I some kind of blocked in my neighborhood because of the air alert. But yeah, in the normal cases, we go as everyone to college, to schools, to the universities.
You are 17 now and soon turning 18.
Yeah.
So there is a possibility that you could go to war to fight.
That's not.
Can you explain that, please?
Yeah, sure. Because of the some changing in our mobilization war laws, we changed a little bit some kind of a laws of the war time. Yeah, before the 2025, men after 18, they could not cross the border. But right now, there is some changed system. And men after 23, so cannot cross the border. So a man from 18 to 22-year-old can leave the country and came back if they want or not to. And the students who studied in the universities, they could not to serve up to 25. They could not already from 22 to 25 cross the border, but they cannot serve to age of 20, 25. They're students of the universities.
So what are your plans?
My plans right now is staying in Ukraine. Sure, I want to travel, and I think I'm going to be. I want to stay and study in Ukraine because there is, you know, firstly, this is so lyrically home place. This is my homeland. Firstly, the education system is way more understandable for everyone here. I wanted to end up in Ukrainian university, maybe in future some European universities, but this is in the future. Yeah, and study here. Up to 22, I have an opportunity to leave a country. I want to travel. I don't want to say that I want to leave forever Ukraine. I want to stay here, but as every teen, every young age people, I want to travel. I want to see or explore world. So, yeah.
Your English is perfect. Was learning English your own choice, or has the system in Ukraine changed and teenagers started understanding that English is important for their future and their lives?
In my case, this is my was personal choice, but then the education system required to everyone the studying of English. Actually, I learned English since age of 3 because of my mom. She fluently speaks English. And since my childhood, since my early childhood, I was speaking English. She was trying to teach me. And then step by step, year after another, I learned English. Yeah. And a few years ago, I cannot remember exactly, the educational system was also reformed. And this is a requirement. Absolutely everyone in Ukraine must study English. And this is the must learned lesson in all our school system. And our final national multi-test, when students are ending up the school, it requires for everyone English.
That's great, because I remember the times when almost nobody spoke English and foreigners often didn't even have someone to ask for directions or help. Well, how do you and your friends deal with stress or fear when something happens, like air raid sirens?
Well, right now, I'm not going to talk about everyone, mental health, the feelings and the vision of the war is absolutely different. I'm talking about right now in my me and my friends. I think, as I said, we adapted to all this stuff, all this ongoing situation. Actually, I'm trying not to pay such an attention on it. I'm trying to continue live such a kind of normal life, as if we could say it like that. I'm not trying to pay attention. I'm trying to even ignore this. Like I'm living like nothing is happening. I'm talking right now about me, actually, and my friends, my close friends. But yeah, sometimes this is hard. Actually, the winters. Winter, this is the time when no one can ignore ignore the war. This is such a hard period. I'm not scared to say that you need to survive this. Winter is the time when you're testing your possibility to survive in the critical situation because of the cutting off in electricity in extremely low temperatures. Somebody could not have a water access because of the frozen tubes, this frozen metal tubes of a system, of a city water system. Electricity, the very bad internet connection, something like that. So yeah, and the worst thing, the cutting off electricity and heating. So this is the time of survival, the time when no one can ignore the war. But actually, the summer, something like that, when the war like looks far away than you, you could just still live a normal life. Yes, as I said, everyone is different. Everyone's vision on the war is different. Somebody feels that very hard. Somebody revives all these emotions that hard. So yeah, actually, it all depends on a family. Or they have somebody who serves the army, or they flee the occupied territories. Also, it depends on it. But me and my friends, we still live a normal life, if we could say like this.
I know that your father is currently serving in the military.
Yeah, sure.
What does that feel like for you?
Actually, normally. I think that this is such a thing that you need to understand, that you need to feel, but not kill yourself by emotions. You need to understand it clearly. And you need to explain to yourself that this is the worst time, could trapped in this situation. And because of that, because of my father and everyone like him exactly, this is depends on that if I'll go to my college next day, if I'm going to live in this country next day, and if even this country will still on the world maps, if we still have an our independence. So yeah, we're contacting me every day, asking how's going, what the situation on the front lines. Thank God, right now everything is kind of okay, not that hard, maybe because of the war in the Middle East, I don't know. But right now, everyone is pretty controlled. Everything is right now a bit calm.
Has the war changed the way you think about your future?
Firstly, the war changes your day in life. Firstly, will you even wake up? Because this is such an irrational roulette. Because of the, you know, the tactics of the Russians, they shell absolutely everything. They're not choosing like only military objects, like the rockets, drones, or something like that could shell anywhere. Residential houses, they're one of the targets. So yeah, I guess firstly, that is changing if you're going to wake up or not in the morning. If you woke up, you're lucky, I could say like this. No, actually, this is a bad joke, black joke. I love black humor because of the war. Yeah, I'm a little bit crazy. What changed concretely? Actually, all the stuff that wasn't that meaningful for you before the war became so meaningful for you. Because before the war, but many Ukrainians didn't realize how great this country was before the war. When they trapped being the refugees in absolutely unknown countries for them, and this missing of the home, of the meaning of understanding of everything around you, they tried to understand how was great before the war and how home feels, actually. For me, actually, as a student, I wanna to earn Ukrainian education. As I said previously, I want a European or something like that in the future. But first, for me, that would be great to earn Ukrainian education system. I've heard many stuff about occupation and the studying there. This is kind of horrible because this is like a full brainwashing. This is the propaganda machine working on students, on the yacht. This is the hate machine. And, you know, this is kind of scary. What is going to happen to next generation under occupation? So, yeah. What changed for me also, you know, I'm a teenager at the yacht. I'm like right now in this age when I want to explore, discover something new, especially new countries, this world, people and stuff like that. Airspace, which is closed to cross the border. This is such a challenge because you need to go to neighboring countries. So the most popular are Moldova or Poland. By car, by train, by buses, and only then from there you can fly. So yeah, this is such a hard thing for me. Prices went a little bit higher, but salaries are not. Actually, this is a bad thing about war. What else? I don't know. Something completely hasn't changed for me. No, actually, I can say, like, we're all joking about Russians. Country which has invaded us. We have no sanctions. We still free country with the freedom of speech, freedom of everything you want. We have an international brands here operating in Ukraine, such as the Russians were crying about, like living of an H&M, Apple Pay, the McDonald's from Russia. We have no sanctions here. We have freedom here, freedom of speech, freedom of press. You can, like, I don't know, we always say to somebody who's from, maybe if we have a dialogue between Russians, which is could happen in the internet, we still talk to strangers, maybe some. We can say, like, you can go with such a banner in a central, in our independence square in Kyiv with a political banner, like, I hate my president. And no one could pay attention for you. We have freedom of speech. No one cares about your political vision. We have freedom. This is the fundamental thing. And freedom became even higher because of the war. Because in many countries, the level of freedom is getting lower because of the war. We have an absolutely opposite thing. The freedom level in Ukraine even grew up, and I'm proud of it. Because actually, for the post-Soviet country, the level of freedom, this is the fundamental changes and the fundamental sign how this country grew up since the independence and the collapse of the Soviet Union. We have one of the highest in Eastern Europe, and this is a great mark.
Have you already decided what you want to do in the future? I mean, your profession or career?
Already, and I'm starting this thing, international relations. I want to dive really in diplomacy. Actually, this is not because of the war. I didn't decide it because of this time. Actually, from my early childhood, I really loved the politics and the international politics as well. I'm right now studying the international laws, international relations, and I want to dive into diplomacy. And yeah, because of the war, understanding how world crackable is also pushed me in this way of the study. I wanted to make this world better. Possible this or not, I don't know. I just want to try. Maybe something is going to change. And I wanted that the process of change was including me. Maybe.
That's cool. I think you'll make a wonderful diplomat.
Thank you so much.
What gives you a sense of stability or comfort right now?
The strength of our army. The help from our Western partners as much as European Union and NATO. We very trust them. And how our neighbors' situation in the politics side of our neighbors as much as Hungary, Moldova, Slovakia, where the pro-Russian movements are very huge. Stability between them, in our relations between our neighboring countries, the alliances and the health programs, renewal programs and financial programs for Ukraine. And what? The people. We haven't fallen in 2022. Our nation is standing. And if it will continue, everything is going to be great.
Okay, if you could say something to teenagers in other countries, what would you want to tell them?
For Europeans, for young Europeans, I would rather say be ready for some threats, be ready for some warnings and invasions in the future, because safety of Europe right now depends on Ukraine. Ukraine is a shield of Europe, of a European continent. Is something going to be wrong? So be ready to protect yourself. And for teenagers like in New Zealand or Australia, from all of far away from here, I can say only thing that be thankful for anything. Be thankful for your faith, for your God. I don't know for who you believe. That you are in a safety. You could live your life happily. Grab all those moments. You live only once. And just try to do your life and even maybe this world better.
And you know, while we are sitting here talking about spring, plans for the future and teenage dreams somewhere in Ukraine, in Kyiv, Lviv, Odessa, Sumy, Poltava, Kharkiv, Cherkasy, Chernihiv, or across the country all at once, air raid sirens are sounding again. Someone will once again wake up in the middle of the night because of explosions. Someone will run to a bomb shelter. Someone else will sit in a corridor waiting for the attack to end, following the two-wall rule to avoid being cut by shattered glass from the blast wave. Someone will automatically check their phone, message their family, "Are you alive?" and try to fall asleep again. For millions of Ukrainian teenagers, this has become part of everyday life. Not because they have become used to war, it is impossible to get used to war, but because human beings are capable of adapting even to things that should never become normal. And perhaps the most frightening part of this story is not only the missiles or the explosions. It is the fact that these children are learning to live between air raid sirens, trying to build a future under constant danger, and growing up far faster than they ever should have had to. Thank you to Nazar for this honest conversation. And thank you for being with us today. Take care of yourselves and the people you love. See you next time. Слава Україні!
Thank you for tuning in to Borscht Club on ORFM. Stay connected with us and listen to our episodes on Spotify, Apple Podcasts and oar.org.nz. This is your host Оля Вязенко, wishing you joy and a delicious day ahead. До зустрічі! See you next time!
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.